It's that time of year again. The first flowers are blooming, the weather's warming up, the sun will cross directly over the Earth's equator. And for those of you who thought this was an intro to a piece about the vernal equinox, you are incorrect, sir. Y'all ready for this? No, we're talking March Madness, which means I have no idea what I'm about to talk about. For the non-College Hoops fans, filling out the tournament bracket for the office pool tomorrow is a daunting task. NPR actually has a little bracket on our intranet, but it says in bold letters, there is no cash involved. Repeat, no cash involved. It is still a lot of fun, and more importantly, it's legal, end quote. So let's spend a few minutes blending analysis, educated guesswork, and dumb luck to get you a winner circle in your office pool. Joining us now are Bill Wolf, rehabbed ESPN producer and BPP resident sports guy, and my husband. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Allison. I thought we were talking about the vernal equinox. I'm not prepared.
You're not prepared?
No.
All right, you've got a few minutes. I'll go to Will Leach now, friend of the show, editor of the sports blog Deadspin, and author of God Save the Fan. Hi, Will.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Okay, Bill, you've had enough time. Let's start with some expert advice. Is there tangible advice, common wisdom, conventional wisdom, that I should consider as I attempt to enter this NPR bracket pool?
Well, there's certainly a commonly accepted conventional wisdom that everyone thinks is their little way to break the pool and to crack the code. But most of the time it's not true. I wrote a story for the New York Times sports magazine Play last year where there's a group of like statisticians at colleges that have sat down and tried to really crash all the numbers and figure out from all past tournaments if there's a way to, like, those little maxims that everyone assumes it's true, like, oh, a 14 seed always beats a 3 seed. It's not true at all. And basically, they ran through all these computer simulations, and their final answer from what they discovered was our simulations gave us no better predictability than randomly picking numbers. So no one has any ideas, basically, what we're saying. But certainly those little ideas of one of the keys in a lot of ways is one of the things that they found was the best way to figure out who was going to win was to simply go by the wisdom of crowds and Vegas odds, which I thought was very, very amusing, that the idea that they can crack all the numbers in the world, but nobody knows any more than just Vegas.
Well, Bill, you like Vegas quite a bit.
I do.
I happen to know.
I do.
When it comes to educated guesswork, what criteria do you use to make your educated guesses?
The team with the smaller number next to it is better than the team with the bigger. So, like, UNC, that's North Carolina, they're the first seed, and they're playing Mount St. Mary's. They're the 16th seed. My educated guess is UNC is going to win, literally. I always think.
You got an edumacation for that?
Well, people get all freaked out about picking the great Cinderella story. A couple of years ago, it was George Mason. In 1983, it was North Carolina State who went all the way and won it. 1985 was Villanova, and they were low seeds, and they went on to win the whole thing. So people become obsessed with picking the one team that they think will go all the way and upset the apple cart and win 6 amazing games in a row. But I think my observation in many years of completely failing at this is that, generally speaking, the best teams wind up winning. I mean, no really low seed has won in the last 22 years. So I think the best way to go, and also when you fill out a bracket pool, typically the brackets are weighted so that the teams you pick to go the furthest are the most important. It's more important to pick the eventual winner than to pick an upset in the first round. You get like 1 point for picking an upset in the first round, but you get 9 points for having picked the winner. So if you really just want to win the bracket, put the best teams in the end, like North Carolina and Memphis and UCLA and Georgetown and Kansas. Those teams, my big trick is to pick the good teams to go far. Because I think it's fun to pick the upsets, and the upsets get everybody's attention. But, A, it's practically impossible to know who will upset whom. And, B, in the end, there aren't that many upsets when it gets right down to it.
Well, we didn't want to blow a surprise, but we have a third contestant in this, or at least a third advisor, mm-hmm. in our picking our brackets. Her name is Cassie. Mm-hmm. She's 4.
I've heard of her.
She's Trisha McKinney's daughter. She's going to provide us a bracket as well to put on the blog. We want to play her own special methodology for picking teams.
Oklahoma or Butler?
Butler. Butler.
Apparently, she likes to say the word "but." That is how she made her picks. Will, how do you make your picks?
Well, first off, that's exactly how I make my living. So, for the record, I have no problem with that at all. One thing about the adult analysis, I think, is dead on, is that typically the best teams usually win. But I think that, like, there is a you can always do well in a pool by picking the better seed. You can always, like, by just kind of going with the idea that, like, yes, I think the better team will win. But you're never going to win a pool that way. And I think the key is, like a couple years ago when Florida won the national championship, they were a number three seed. The trick is finding that number three seed that's going to make the tournament rather than which number one seed. So that, it's funny because that's the harder part is like this year my team is Wisconsin. Like, to me, that seems like a team that everyone's kind of sleeping on a little bit. The trick is, like, finding out what everyone else is doing and zagging it just when they're zagging at just the right time.
Well, using Will's logic, Bill, which team are you going to pick to zig when everybody else zags?
Clemson. I think Clemson's good. Clemson played North Carolina in the ACC tournament on, I guess it was on Saturday night, and they came really close. I mean, North Carolina is loaded up. They're loaded up with these super-duper star guys who are all high school All-Americans, and they get a tremendous amount of attention. Everybody on ESPN loves them, and they're super famous, and they have a famous coach and all the rest of it. And Clemson was right there with them in the biggest game of the year to that point. So Clemson is a 5 seed. They play in, I think, what I think is the most wide-open bracket, because I don't think Kansas is so great, and they're the number 1 seed, and I don't think Georgetown is so great, and they're the number 2 seed. So I think Clemson is a team, like Will said, that people are sleeping on a little bit, and if they win against Villanova, which I think they will, they'll probably get Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's good, but they're not that good. They happen to be in Wisconsin's bracket.
Okay.
I like Clemson. I think Clemson is my sort of secret, stupid pick that probably isn't right, but
all
it
right.
makes me sound smart when I say it. Something like that.
Wisconsin, Clemson, and Butler.
According
to Cassie McKinney. Will Leach from Deadspin. Bill Wolf from My House. Thanks, guys.
You got it.
Yep.
This is the BPP from NPR.